Welcome to Money Chats and Mishaps, a podcast by FamBrokers hosted by Renee Long, the director and founder of FamBrokers.
Thank you very much, Miss Heidi, for coming onto my podcast. So we're setting up a new podcast to promote and talk to everyone about what lending is, what finance is, mishaps, money, wealth, property, purchases, paying out debts, all different types of things. So no holds barred. There has to be a funny story with us.
Love that. Okay.
There has to be a bit of an explanation.
Yeah.
And sometimes people get really scared about, it's a loan, but it's a, I can't go to the Commonwealth Bank or one of the majors. So this is about learning about what's out there and how, what we do and how to get that through.
So cool.
Heidi, you have got a plethora of experience, years, and I think I've known you for 9.5 years now.
Absolutely. So a wonderful nine and a half years.
Woo, it'll be 10 years soon.
Yeah.
I think it's in February that it's 10 years, so we'll have to do a coffee for that.
I think so. Celebration cake.
Oh, hello.
Celebration cake.
Celebration cake.
I think you picked me because I don't like to talk that much. So I'm pretty sure that's why you picked me for a podcast.
Yeah, you are really quiet little wallflower.
Very, very.
So if we were to say, I get asked often, what do you mean by a low doc or an alt doc loan? What is lending in that space? What do you mean? I'm self-employed. I can't get a loan because I don't have my tax return. So for my clients out there, what would you say to them to give another spin on what I talk to them about and explain?
Yeah.
So how would you explain that to them?
Because I often get asked sort of, what do I do? And so I think I explain it as a non-bank. Like, I think that's kind of what your low doc and old doc lenders sort of look at. We are non-bank options.
Yeah.
So outside of all your majors, we give something a bit different. We look at things different. And, you know, throughout my career, I've worked in both major banks and non-bank now. And I think the non-bank space, we complement what the majors do.
Yeah.
We don't compete against them because we don't write the business that the big banks are writing. Mm. Because if your customers fit there, you're going to send them there. we're doing the other stuff. And I think we look at things differently, but with what's happening right now. So you and I laughed the other week. I explain income in an interesting way, and I think it works for customers. When you go to a bank with all of your tax returns up to date, it's very historical data. So it's often referred to as a full doc loan.
It's like your CV of lending.
Yeah, and it's, you know,
of income.
You rock up with your giant briefcase of hundreds of pages. But a full doc loan, a lot of banks right now are looking at 2023 tax returns. So that's quite old data. If customers try to look at business lending and sort of borrowing for their business, often you have to look at projected income.
Yeah.
So that's, what is my business going to do?
Yeah.
So we've got historical and projected. I think what we do in the non-bank space under alt doc or low doc, we just look at what's happening right now. What's happening in your business right now? And I think the reason that's really busy at the moment is after COVID. You know, a lot of businesses took a dive.
Yeah.
And then have really come back.
Mm-hmm.
And often that historical data.
And evolved and diversified.
Evolved and changed.
Exactly.
And looked at things differently.
Yeah.
So what's happening in their business right now is very different to 22, 23.
That's for sure.
And I think that's why the alt doc and low doc space, I think it's evolving and getting busier because of that.
And alt doc and low doc lending, there's so many different things. So speed can be one of the main important parts. So I know that I've used different alt doc lenders, including with you, to find solutions because the bank that originally provided an approval then wants to take security over other properties and then doesn't want to proceed because the person does not want to proceed with that bank because they don't want to lose their other properties and cross-collateralize. Because cross-collateralization is a risk for someone. In my opinion, it's the person's choice as well, but the client didn't want to do that.
I think the solutions, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like you said, the client doesn't want to do that. So what
other solutions
are there? Yeah.
Because they were going to lose over $100,000 if they didn't settle within the 7 days.
Wow.
So you guys actually went over and above and did an amazing job. And I spoke to her when she was crying on the toilet, which I didn't know about. She tells me after that she's jumped off the toilet and she's has no pants on and she's trying to talk to the delivery driver. But as a broker, you talk to somebody, raw humanity, you get them in their home space where they're comfortable. Once I told her to take a break, talk to me, come back, I will phone the lender, which is you guys. Phone them up. They sorted out a solution. We got an approval within 24 hours. The client had their pants on this time.
It was fabulous.
I'm a visual person. I really don't need to see it. I love it a bit. Don't get me wrong. She's a client.
Probably still would have approved it, pants on. Pants. But, you know.
It's not pants on Friday.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was so happy, appreciative and grateful. And there was very little difference between the lending and we still had an offset account. We had all different types of things that they wanted as well. They are so happy they're going to move forward and purchase another property. And they love the lending institution that we went to because they did everything they needed to and they felt comfortable with it. They and felt it like it was a one-stop shop.
Probably wasn't their first choice, right? I think.
No, it wasn't.
You know,
it became their first choice.
Yeah.
And that's great.
And I joke and say nobody lays in bed at night dreaming about a non-bank solution, right? Like,
oh, come on, I'm a bit of a nerd.
I probably do. But, you know, they didn't walk in to see you as their broker going, you know, I want to go to a non-bank. You offered that as a solution based on what was happening. And I think that's the really cool thing about, you know, clients
policy
going to
and
you.
Things like yeah. that as well. So most people, a lot of self-employed clients will come to brokers.
Yep.
And they're scared. They don't think they can get a loan. They want to buy a commercial property. They want to pay their tax debt down. They want to consolidate something, but they haven't had their tax done. And they're scared they're going to be rejected and have that on their credit file.
Yep.
So how would you talk to somebody, or can you provide an example of when that's happened and you get a great solution from that?
A lot of the time, so I look after nearly 700 brokers.
It might be nearly Halloween. Yes. But it's not a scary time.
It's not a scary time. And so, you know, I'm taking calls all the time about, you know, how we can provide a solution. And most commonly at the moment, it is around that my tax returns aren't up to date. My yeah. accountant has a backlog. They're not going to be ready, but this property's come up. You know, we know here on the Gold Coast, like the market is hot at the moment. Mm-hmm. People are wanting to move. So, you know, they're often finding I'm ready to purchase now, but nothing's lining up. Or potentially they've done their tax returns but have a fabulous accountant and, you know, it's not reflecting currently what's happening in the business, that sort of thing. So tax debt, you know, you touched on it, is huge. We're seeing a lot of tax debt examples at the moment and just customers wanting to consolidate and pay out tax debt.
Yeah. Tax has got a huge interest rate at the moment.
Yeah.
And the taxation department, if they haven't paid or they're not on a payment plan, the taxation department historically has sometimes gone after people and yeah. like people don't want to lose their houses and they don't want a tax debt shown on their credit file because that impacts your credit score and lending yeah. solutions and things like that. So,
and I think they think once they have a tax debt again, they can't get that help.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I think the scenarios that I'm seeing come through are customers going to their brokers going, this is what I want to do, but how?
Yeah.
How do we do that? And, you know, we're definitely seeing
it. They don't think
increase.
They can.
No, absolutely.
I went to this. Although you do get the occasional one that goes there on the Saturday, bids on the auction, doesn't have the deposit, or puts down all of the money that they have in the bank, so they've got $12.23 left.
Yeah.
And they come to you on the Wednesday afterwards to say, oh, here's my contract from 5 days ago. We need to settle. There's no finance clause.
Yeah.
I've got 9 days to settle.
9 days
Can
to
you
go.
Can help me? I haven't done my tax return. I do have an ATO debt.
Yeah.
And help me out here.
I've got all the tricks up my sleeve.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Merry Christmas.
And I think the speed to market stuff, you know, especially in the non-bank space, we have to stay agile and fast and providing a fast solution because often that is the deals that we're getting. Your customers have come to you going, I signed an unconditional contract on the weekend, or, you know, my bank said no, but my finance clause is ticking. And so, you know, I think making sure we can turn those around and get those great stories, you know, like your customer there that really thought, It was all ending, and we, you know, came through at the end.
And she's quite emotional. So she would phone me every morning crying and in tears. Even when we got the formal approval, she cried. When we didn't have the formal approval, she cried. When she had to change, she cried. And for her, like this was her life. And
Lending is emotional.
lending is so stressful.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, though, because you know what you know, but you don't know what you don't know. So that's
Yeah.
why you ask somebody in the industry.
And I think when you're dealing with, you know, a big home loan, a big expense to people, often it might be that purchase that they've been hanging to get, you know, it's their dream property. There's just so many emotions that come with what we do. And, you know, we've been doing this for a long time, you know, over 10 years.
I
Clearly,
turned
since we were
52
very young,
this year.
clearly.
It started when you were 12.
It's so stressful but so rewarding. And we wouldn't do this industry, like we wouldn't do these jobs and be in this industry if we didn't love it. Because of that, I think it's so stressful and so many emotions. And you know, I'm at, you know, as a business development manager, I'm dealing with the broker, but you're dealing with the client. And so there's these two levels of emotion where everybody's involved in that. And it's so great when you get that amazing outcome at the end and hearing the stories from brokers about clients crying on settlement day, or you know, getting their dream
Send
home.
me a
And
selfie of the new toilet.
I love that. I love that. With pants on.
With pants on, yeah, with pants on.
We're very lucky. As much as it's highly stressful, as much as, you know, I'd love to say that's why I've gone grey, you know.
That's Artesian blonde,
Yeah,
excuse you,
correct.
me.
My blonde sparkles. We do it because we love it, because I think the beautiful stories at the end, and I hope, you know, the customers are listening going to see your broker gives you not only the choice and the options, but the chance to just look outside of what you might have known was available and find those really cool outcomes. I love that. It gives me warm fuzzies.
Does. And self-managed super funds. So I've done a lot of self-managed super funds and historically. So as you know, I was a broker. I became a BDM and worked for banks and private lenders, and then I've become a broker again. So for the last 12 months, I've gone back into it. So I've got clients all over Australia with different types of properties. But one of my loves was self-managed super fund home loans and first-time buyers. I don't know why it was first-time buyers. Everybody tells me you're an idiot. But the joy on first-time buyers' face is amazing. But with self-managed super funds, I found out that a lot of older clients and people that knew me back in the day and now as well, one of the loans that a non-bank lender, you guys may have or may not have refinanced, the bank that was still had the home loan, they'd went gone up to over 10%. And they got refinanced for 700, oh, sorry, they got refinanced for 7.34%.
Fantastic.
And on a non-recourse loan, and we'll touch on a non-recourse loan in a moment, but we worked out the amortization calculator and they saved over $400,000 for the remaining 25 years on that home loan. So doesn't matter what you know, have a look at things, because sometimes refinancing may not be the right thing for you. But
I think it's
self-managed
the
super funds are
options,
great.
right? It's just
Exactly, it's those options.
seeing a broker is about finding the options available. And then you can go away with the information and decide what's right for you. But as I said, I work with 700 amazing brokers, and that's just, you
But
know, my patch.
some
And
banks and lenders don't like to deal with
correct.
self-managed super funds. And if you're having that barbecue conversation, that birthday party, that wedding bar mitzvah sort of conversation with somebody about, oh, we've just got a new house, we've just done this, we've just done this. Often people think about seven to eight lenders in their head. They think of the big four, big five, and then a couple of others, which are your second tiers, like your Suncorp, your Bank of Queensland, your Bank of West, ING, that sort of thing. So they'll think about those nine. But when you go into the broker world, our brain sometimes explodes because there's so many different options. But you just have to identify where the client needs to and go to those different options. And that's why the non-bank lending is so important at the moment.
Yeah.
Because you have banks, you have second tier lenders and banks, then you have your non-bank, non-code, your private, etc. Did you know there was listed, there was 300 private lenders in Australia last year listed that lent money. That's huge.
Huge.
Now, if somebody was looking for a non-bank though, they were self-employed, they had an engineering company or an electrical company and they had, but they hadn't, you know, they needed cash out for these purposes, paying out the tax debt probably for a business is one of the biggest stresses that they have. So if somebody was paying out a tax debt and they had commercial property or other property and they came to a broker and the broker said, okay, these are a couple of different lenders, this is what they do, how would you, what two or three tips could you give somebody to prepare for that non-bank lending to get the client what they needed to do?
I think customers are going to come in thinking they need different stuff ready for non-bank.
Yeah.
Used to dealing with the major banks. Yeah. So, you know, as I said,
you don't need that port.
We joke about that briefcase.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to just go to their broker, provide their overview, and probably work alongside with their accountant and the broker around what's required because there's so many different options. It might be BAS. It might be the accountant declaring income. It might be business bank statements, but it's definitely not going to be as many documents, depending on the type of loan that it is. And that's, you know, from a residential perspective.
That's less stressful as well.
Less stressful, but also just they don't need to be the expert.
Mm.
You as their broker, Renee, gives them, you're the expert on their situation, and then you
That's a big thing.
It's a big word, but then you come to your business development managers as the expert in each of those other options. So, you know, I like
learning 300 organizations' policies is
that's
difficult.
It. You get
working together.
Business development manager for every bank and non-bank that you deal with. So you get this extra layer of all these experts. And the client gets you as their expert, you know, to guide them. And provide that support like we talked about, you know, being able to help them along that to know what they need.
Yeah.
Because it is so specialised. Every customer is different. Every scenario is different. Every situation.
And they don't need to send in everything. You just need to provide so that you know and the lender's comfortable with knowing that they can afford that loan. They're not going to, and I get this a lot, but if you go to one of those lenders, I can't afford the loan, I won't be able to pay it back. And I say, stop.
Yep.
Now, let's just think about that. This non-bank lender is lending you $750,000, say. I said, I wouldn't lend it to you if I wasn't comfortable that I'm getting my money back.
Yeah.
There's servicing calculators. So borrowing capacity is based on your servicing calculator of your debt and everything that the person has involved. It's their whole world.
Yeah.
So sometimes I say, tell me even where the body's buried, because sometimes you hate those little gems that come out later. If your client has a credit default, we need to know.
Yeah.
If your client, if our client has been bankrupt or is out of bankruptcy for a day or they missed repayments or with one client at the moment, and I love him, bless his little cotton socks, he has got such a thriving business. He just so much equity and asset, and this guy's a gold brick, but he's so worried that he is going to get hacked that he transfers his money all the time.
So, moves it everywhere.
So, and he doesn't think about that, and he didn't talk to me about that. And I said, I need to do your bank statements. So I sent the link. I've got the bank statements. I'm going through them. 54 dishonors because he transfers out and in.
Yeah.
Out of sync.
Nearly a full-time job moving
so
it all around.
Exactly. So, I mean, bless his little cotton socks, but he didn't know that that was going to affect him. He's like, I've got $800,000 in the bank, I own property, I've got this huge booming business. But I couldn't get him a loan with a standard lender because they're like, 54 dishonors, I'm sorry, one you're declined or two you're declined. Three is definitely time out, get out of the pool.
Yeah.
You know? So Non-bank lenders are great for somebody who has done that. I have sorted him out. We don't need to get the loan that we needed for the commercial property. It's not going to register next March anyway. So what I've
got him to navigate.
I love that. So I've got him on a bit of a plan. And sometimes you've got to do that as well. But if somebody's got a couple of defaults in that, that impacts so much on a credit assessment.
And I think people think once they've got a default that that's the end of it.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
Bad things happen to good people.
There's a lot of things. Bankruptcies happen for many things.
Yep.
I mean, divorces, that impacts, health impacts, GFC still impacting some people, COVID sends some people to the wall.
Life events happen.
Exactly.
Things happen. And I think, you know, in the non-bank space, we talk a lot about, I love a good cheesy slogan, so stories, not scores.
Yes.
So it's less about the what's the auto number and what that is.
Yeah.
What actually happened behind it? Mm. You know, what is the event that happened? How do we show it's finished? How do we show what's changed?
Yeah.
And, you know, how do we come together to find a solution at the other end of that, regardless of what that might look like?
Yeah.
There is often different options there. So not feeling
is
like
an example about something like that?
Yeah. So, you know, recently we settled a great deal where, you know, the customers really didn't think anyone would lend to them.
Yeah.
They had a really dramatic health event that happened in their life probably 18 months earlier. And it heavily impacted the credit report because they had missed repayments, defaults.
Oh, okay.
So much was going on. They really probably didn't engage with their bank at the time to get, you know, repayment pauses and
often,
things. Because there's other stuff happening.
But there's other stuff
priorities.
Happening. There's exactly, other priorities. But there's a lot of shame involved in that. And
absolutely.
People take that on board and they're embarrassed to tell other people.
Yeah.
And that's when they need to. So there shouldn't be shame in that.
Yeah.
Come to us and talk to us when an event's happening. Because sometimes we can help.
We can't help
all the time. But explaining what it is and taking the
and
story
that's what
into
we
account.
Did with the broker,
that's great.
You know, tell us about the event that happened.
Yeah.
What happened since then? You know, so what's changed? Because that's for the broker to have a look at that story up front. So, you know, from a credit score perspective, that deal probably wasn't going to one of the major banks because it did have a low score, even though there's a story behind it. And that's where we were able to come in and go, well, let's have a look at what's happening right now. So, you know, amazingly, this person's health had turned around. They had come out the other side of that, back working, back on their feet. They'd been out renting, but really wanted to enter back into the property market. So through all of that, they'd had to sell their home, go back out renting. And, you know, again, that's emotive. That's an emotional thing that happens that you've lost your home and you're, you know, will you ever get back to it? Is that feeling? And, you know, we were able to help them get back into the property market, buy again, just start rebuilding.
And that would have been so good for them and you. And that's why sometimes you're in the raffle. Because the joy sometimes that you get, it's like a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I actually made a difference in someone's life. And doing that, you make a difference in someone's life.
Absolutely.
So it's all of those things put together and then knowing. And it's the same as when somebody's had those significant events or tragedy has struck or whatever else. And if they've got an SPV, like a special purpose vehicle with properties and that in, but if you've got somebody who's had to refinance because they were going to get their house repossessed.
Yep.
And they've gone to a private lender and had it refinanced. Then they go to somebody like you and you take that back at a better
rate
and put them in. Exactly. So it's that whole plan. And you guys refinance those private lines of that at a cheaper rate, it's easier. When the private lenders are smaller, you can do a longer term.
And once that deal comes to us, so that example that we just gave, they won't be with us for 30 years.
Exactly.
They will then, you know, as they're back on their feet, they will go back out to the major.
It's the stairway to heaven.
Yeah, it is a beautiful stepping stone. And,
you
know, we get to be part of that journey. You know, as you said, it might start here at private lending. It might come through to one of your non-banks. It might then go to a second tier lender and then out to a mainstream.
Yep.
But it's that light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm.
So,
and providing that solution for what they needed.
And hopefully, you know, out of today, it's sort of for everyone going, if you felt like there was nothing, there might be.
Exactly. You know? Phone your broker.
Yeah.
Talk to them about different solutions. And, okay, can you tell me about alt doc loans, low doc loans, refinancing a private?
And I think what you give, Renee, is that ability to be that person to look at all of those options for them.
Mm.
That's what I love. You know, we've been dealing with each other for a long time and in your different roles.
Without your services, though, I couldn't do my job.
So having you there as the broker and being able to do that researching and looking into those options and being able to present them back, like I think that's, again, that's what we love about where we fit into the journey and into the piece.
Yeah, very much so.
Really cool. A lot of it's cash flow, you know, freeing up cash flow for customers, helping them get their cash flow back to get back on their feet or, you know, come out of that significant thing. And it might not be a health event. It might, like you said, there's separations, divorces,
there's all sorts of
tragedies.
Things.
Yeah. Businesses, unfortunately, don't work sometimes.
Many, many years ago, I had a client who found out his wife was having an affair with the partner of the business. So they had to separate. He took all the debt on. He just said, leave.
Yep.
Just go. I'll take everything on. What he didn't understand is how much had been taken out of the business and coming into it just on his own. He was only left with one property. So having to refinance that property to keep his business afloat, or he would have lost the house, gone bankrupt.
Yeah.
And by going to a non-bank lender, it saved him.
Yeah.
And to this day, he's amazing. He lives on the Gold Coast and he will ring me up and go, I just went to such and such and I've got your referral because you saved me and I was blank, blank, blank.
Yeah.
He always calls himself a couple of colourful words. Look, he's the sweetheart, but he thought he could go nowhere. And I met him at Burleigh at the coffee club there.
Yep.
Meeting a first home buyer of a woman that I used to work with, and I sorted them out. And when they left, he walked over and said, oh, you were talking about home loans and finances. What do you do? And I'm like, I'm a broker. He goes, can I talk to you? So he sits down. I've got another appointment. I'm madly texting. And we stayed there for 2.5 hours talking about his situation, because sometimes it's about the listening and being there for people too. Because if I didn't know his background, I wouldn't have known which lender to go to as well. And those hidden things.
Yeah.
So don't be embarrassed or afraid.
Yeah, definitely not.
I'm not going to walk up with blue gloves on. Because you know when they have the blue gloves, it's dangerous.
You just made me think, what is the most interesting place you've got a referral from?
We've gone
totally on the cuff, off the cuff.
A brothel.
That is interesting.
So I had a lady who worked at a gentleman's club. She was a dancer. And she went to a major bank and they said they wouldn't give her a loan. And she was studying law. And I did guest lecturing I was actually in human resources for the international students at Central Queensland University. And I did a speech on that. And she was doing the organisational development as an elective. She walked over to me. And she said, can I just talk to you about something? She said, you said you're now in finance.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, okay, yep. So she took my details. So I got her a loan, but she referred. So I got a referral because she worked in the brothel as well. I got the referral from the brothel and they phoned me up directly. And on the top of it, it said what the name was. And because Telstra's great now, okay?
Yep.
It'll tell you whether you got suspected spam, you know, your
also
international.
Also tells you who's calling.
Exactly. And if somebody's phoning me from Germany at 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't have any more expats in Germany. Singapore, I'd answer your call. But, yeah, so a brothel. I've also had a brothel ask me to finance their brothel. I've had many a client building boarding accommodation, and when I see the specs, I'm like, that's a brothel.
Yep.
It really makes it sound like I do a lot of brothels, but I don't. But the brothel was the most interesting one. The brothel and the embarrassing parts, look, you have the good, the bad, and the ugly. I've had little kids crawl up on me and go, oh, you're comfy, because clearly I'm not a size 8, and snuggle in. And I'll sit there while we're talking about stuff, a baby.
Love that.
It just depends on the area.
But I also think that's what the industry does, right? Yeah. Like, so we operate, we don't operate normal hours. No. So I've taken phone calls. A lot of brokers have young families, and I've had calls where you hear, you know, the little ones in the background having witching hour, screaming the house down. And I can actually work through that. Like, I'm always like to the broker, it's okay, keep talking, I'm okay. I've had someone's little fella in the background proudly exclaim that their poo was green. So apparently they'd had green ice cream. The broker did want to give that clarity.
But
literally was like, that's probably the best exclamation I've had in the background from children.
What was the hardest loan you have ever put through, the most difficult for the best result?
Probably first starting out in non-bank when we did we consolidated nearly 17 unsecured facilities.
Wow.
17.
That's amazing. Credit cards, personal loans. Go more than five.
Yeah. So unsecured facilities. Wow. That it probably in totaled over $200,000.
Holy doly.
But interestingly, the customer, immaculate transaction history. So all of them were up to date.
But it would have saved them so much.
Saved them so much. But imagine.
Monthly cash flow. Imagine
that daily job of waking up and paying it. So wow. Because they were all up to date, I immediately thought of the time it would take to control those debts.
And there was life events
that had happened throughout this lady's life that had caused that to happen. So separation, business failure, things like that. And debt had just accumulated. So it wasn't like she just went out and got 17 facilities.
Yeah. Wasn't Christmas.
Yeah, that's it. It wasn't just,
the DFO had an amazing sale and the shoes were great.
But, you know, just thinking about on settlement day, so the broker rang me and said my client cried on settlement day and it was so beautiful. Oh. But, you know, it was more than $10,000 a month in cash flow freed up. But it was more than that.
That's life-changing.
Imagine waking up every morning and thinking, what debt is due today? Because they were immaculate. All of them were completely up to date. It was amazing.
Transfer.
Yeah.
So
I feel like
every second day she had to at least transfer one debt.
For something.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was living to pay off debt.
Yeah, wow.
And being able to, you know, be that stepping stone of getting that back on track and helping her prep up to eventually move back to a mainstream lender.
That's what you're there for. Isn't that great?
Look, it was a navigational nightmare on settlement day, getting payout figures for all of those facilities and navigating that. But, you know, we work with some really amazing companies that, you know, look after settlements for us and do all that stuff and are used to that. But
and we're going to have podcasts on that too.
Love that. But, yeah, it sticks out to me because I remember thinking the time, not just the money, but the time saved. The stress removed.
So imagine three huge impacts. So your time, your money, your stress, that is your life. That impacts you on a day-to-day.
Yeah.
So that impacts your home life, your personal, your business, your work. Work-life balance isn't there for that.
No, definitely not. So, yeah, it sticks out to me. It was really cool.
That's nice.
As I said, I love those stories. Sometimes as a BDM, you're removed a little bit from the customer story.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about sort of the business that we write. We get to hear that stuff, that life-changing stuff.
And it is. That's life-changing. That's incredible.
Yeah. So I think that's my record, 17 facilities.
That's it. Okay, so what's your record on paying off? And this was one that I thought I was going to win one day because I assisted a client to pay out their $500,000 or $533,000 or $553,000 ATO debt.
Yeah.
What is the highest ATO debt you have ever got paid out?
$620,000, I think it was.
It was big.
Mic drop.
Yep.
Mic drop. And again, events happened. That was a huge thing. So.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if it's
incredible.
It's not a record we want people to set out to break.
If you were drowning in that, because I know my client, it's 553. He had five investment properties, one unoccupied property, and he had gone to somebody who, and I always say, You wouldn't buy a beautiful piece of Angus steak from the motorbike shop, would you? Because they're not the butcher, they don't know about their steak. And I definitely am not going to buy a car from Coles.
Yeah.
Right? The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, that's what they do.
Yeah.
Go to an industry expert.
Yeah, definitely.
And utilize what they know, because you don't know what you don't know. But this person had listened to this friend who obviously had stitched them up, and that's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But they had so much equity in these properties, and the ATO had actually given them a foreclosure letter where they were taking two of the properties to pay out the debt.
And it starts becoming very emotional. Again, we've talked a lot about emotions today, but I think it's stressful and embarrassing.
Yeah. He was ashamed. He was scared. And he didn't tell his wife. And I turned up and his wife's like, "And who are you?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm here to see you and your husband, I'm assuming. Are you such and such?" And she goes, "Yes." And I'm like, "Whoopsie." But anyway, we got it sorted out and we got it paid out. But it was difficult to get it paid out because it was so high. And obviously most banks don't like huge ATO debt.
Yeah.
But they were going to lose properties. They got to keep their properties, and their accountant got involved. They actually got a new accountant as well.
And there's always a story behind those transactions, right? And that's what I kept saying about that stories, not scores. We want to know what happened. We want to understand it.
Well, this person had said they were a financial planner. They were never licensed.
And you talk about seeing an expert in the right thing. There's experts for each different thing. And if everyone stays in their lane and does what they do well, so that we can all navigate and work together. You know, your accountant.
But none of us are in competition.
Correct.
None of the lenders and banks should be in competition because you all complement one another.
We're not accountants. We're not financial planners. Exactly. We're in finance.
Exactly.
That's our specialty here.
This is what you do. This is your wheelhouse. Another lender, that's their wheelhouse. Yep. Sometimes you have a 20% overlay, just gives options, but 80% is your baby.
Yeah.
And that
what
makes
you do well.
Exactly.
And home in on that.
Yeah. Yep. So you were going to say something else for a minute there.
We're keeping it PG, remember? We're trying to make this PG.
Right from the Brussels discussion.
We're moving away from our 18 topics.
Oh, well. Thank you very much for your time, Miss Heidi. It's always been delightful.
Always wonderful.
And I can't wait to do the next one. And next time, you've got to bring a really bad joke or something. Yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Can I just share our favourite household joke then?
Yes.
It's a little bit funny.
Bring it on.
My son's now 13, but our favourite is always, how do you make a tissue dance?
How?
Put a little boogie in it.
Classic. I love bad jokes.
Classic.
Okay.
I want to say dad joke, but classic mum joke.
Look, mate, bring it on. Bring
maybe
it on.
That does it sort of go with Halloween? I don't know. Boogie.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Ooh. Yeah. Some people could go with a used hanky.
Sure.
I saw so many Halloween parties driving through on the weekend because I actually had to drop my 30-year-old daughter at one
with
her husband. And I went and minded the kids and they called an Uber back because one of her children was at where they were having the party playing with the other kids. So I took lots of children back.
Love that.
Had a bit of a
You're never too old for a Halloween party or a dress up,
mate. But I thought I was doing the right thing. I bought those, $3 bags of the eyes and the worms and that. My granddaughter thought it was amazing because she's nearly five. My grandson, who's three, thought I'd put real eyes in the bowl.
Oh.
He's like,
"Oh
and
no!"
And I'm like, "What's wrong?" He goes, "Oh,
eyes
freaked him out." So I had to pull these little Scooby eyes out, put them in another bowl, cover the bowl, and the other kids like, "Where's the eyes? I want the eyes!" Because I had like five kids running around.
I also still have the eyes from last year because nobody wanted them.
Creepy, right?
The trick-or-treaters, the kids wouldn't take the eyes. So there you go. We're both going to have this giant bowl of eyes.
So anybody out there, ask us. We'll send them to you.
Also, if you keep getting them in the next couple of years, you'll start getting to know how old eyes are.
So this one's had a TIA.
Yeah.
This one's. Thank you so much, Miss Heidi.
Talk soon.